Well, good morning. Good to see you in God's house this morning. Thank you for the invite. Anybody here have Missouri allergies? All right. We had a campfire last night, and I think I'm feeling the effects of it, but had a blast with our grandkids. We've been in Huntsville for the last 8 years. Huntsville, anybody know where Huntsville's at?
Looked it up on the map.
Anybody ever heard of Moberly? 6 miles west of Moberly. We're the county seat there, but about 30, 45 minutes north of Columbia over to Huntsville. So not too far from Iowa. So we were excited about being in this area. We have three children and eight grandchildren, and number nine on the way. And the oldest one will be nine in December, so they're just at the perfect ages to invest in their lives and be with them. And so we're excited about that, and about the doors God has opened for us in this area. So we're praying about that. If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 14 this morning. Now, John chapter 14, especially the first few verses, we use all the time in funerals. I've used it many, many, many times in funeral services, but this passage has so much a deeper meaning than what we normally think about. I was thinking about this passage last night. We have a member of the church there in Huntsville who passed away yesterday, 96, from COVID. He got COVID, and of course, pneumonia or anything at 96 should get you, but he passed away, and he's ready to go, no doubt about that. I think he basically, at the end, somebody said gave up, said, I don't think he gave up. I said, I think he said he was ready to go home. But at 96, he was still mowing his yard and two other neighbors' yards, cleaning his own gutters and doing everything he wanted to do. So he was truly blessed. And I thought about this passage and how we use this passage in funerals and things. But there's so much more for the church than we realize in this passage. And I think it has a very valuable, it's a very valuable information we need to think about today in the world in which we live. So before we read, let me pray, and then we're going to look into God's Word. Father, this morning we thank you for allowing us to be in your house. Father, I thank you for these faithful folks that are here this morning to be fed, to hear from you. And Father, today I know that there's many needs here, just like there are everywhere. But I know we have a need to hear from you. And this morning I pray that we would hear from you through this message. I pray that the message would be one that would encourage us, would help us, would motivate us, and would help us as we move forward. So just bless our time together now, and Lord, bless the reading of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now, John chapter 14, in case you don't realize, this falls on the heels of John chapter 13. They both actually go together, okay? Most people don't think about that. In John chapter 13, Jesus is spending some precious time with his disciples, only to inform them of some things that are going to happen. First of all, he tells them, hey, now just picture the setting. Here are the disciples with Jesus. They're in that upper room, and he tells them, oh, by the way, one of you are going to betray me. Can you imagine what it was like? And then he continues and tells, oh, by the way, I'm fixing to leave and go, and you cannot follow, at least not right now. And so I'm leaving you. And then he says to Peter, who's the leader of the bunch, leader of the disciples, he looks at him and says, oh, and very soon you're going to deny me. And can you imagine what that setting was like at that point? Now, Jesus has spent the last 3 years preparing the disciples for a time, for a special time. He was preparing them for a difficult time. This was going to be a time of transition for them. It was going to be a time of first. It was going to be a time that there were going to be a lot of difficulties, a lot of challenges. It would be a time that Jesus knew was going to challenge their faith. And to be honest with you, probably scare them to death. And Jesus knows that this is the last time he is going to be able to sit, talk with them, and share these things with them. And for Jesus, he's like, I must tell you some things, and you must listen. That's how important this time right here is in John 13. So picture yourself right now in your mind. Just picture yourself as one of those disciples sitting there with Jesus. He's told you, hey, I'm fixing to leave. When are you going to betray me? Peter, you're going to deny me. And he looks at those disciples, and what does he say? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, for in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So Jesus takes what is bad news, the fact that he's leaving and all that, and he does his best to challenge his disciples to look at the whole situation totally differently. He says, and whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas is sitting there. He said, Thomas says to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? But Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And by the way, that's a passage we ought to remember today, because there's people trying to get to heaven every single way in the world, and they think they've got it all figured out. You don't get there except for him, through him. But Jesus said, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and has seen him. Now the New King James rewords that just a little bit, and I like the way he phrases it, because we don't use the word henceforth very much anymore, do we? Anybody use the word henceforth in the last 2 weeks? We don't do that. But the New King James phrased it, and from now on, you know him and have seen him. Did you catch that? And from now on. From now on, from this point on, there's going to be no hiding the truth. Jesus tells them the truth here has been revealed. The disciples from this day forward would have to embrace who Jesus was. They'll have to embrace why he came and where he's going. And from now on also makes them think not just of the present or the past, but of the future. What's going to happen? I mean, Jesus is their leader. Who's going to take the lead? He's their pastor. Now in verse 8, Philip's still asking questions though. Philip says unto him, Lord, show us the Father and it suffices us. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. He says then, very verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I shall do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, Jesus had been teaching many of these things to the disciples all along, how he was going to give them power to do things, to show who they were. And Jesus had done miracles, and it was going to be, they were able to do some things, but now, like a giant puzzle, Jesus starts fitting all these pieces together so that they can see what this picture looks like, because he's leaving and they're going to be the ones carrying on the work. You see, Jesus is preparing them for the next step, for the next level. Jesus knew everything was about to change. And now these men, the ones that he chose, by the way, they were about to face a totally different situation. And I'm sure some of them thought, well, hey, wait a minute now, Lord. If this is the case, and you're leaving, and all this, I mean, the work of the church, is, I mean, the sharing of the gospel, the sharing of the things that you've taught us, we're going to need some leadership. You need to bring back Abraham or Moses or maybe Joseph or Daniel for an important task like this. But that wasn't what God had planned. That wasn't what he was going to do. Jesus came, and what did he tell them? Hey, I'm going to use fishermen or tax collectors or farmers, or didn't matter. He said, I'm going to use you. He was just going to take ordinary people, give them extraordinary power, and then use them to reach ordinary people in ordinary places. And that was his plan. So he tells them in verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Folks, I'll tell you what he's doing right there. He's telling them, okay, guys, it's time for you to step up to the plate. To step up to the plate. He's calling them, and they need to step up. And here's what Jesus is going to do for them as they step up. He says in verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So Jesus said, hey, I know I'm leaving. You're going to have to step up the plate, but I'm going to send you some help. Aren't you glad God sends help when we need it? Yeah, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. You know him. Listen, when you doubt what God can do in your life, think about this verse. But you know him. He says, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So he's going to send help. He's going to send a comforter. He's going to send the Holy Spirit. He said, I'll leave you comfortless in verse 18. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live, you shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Can you just imagine what the disciples felt at that moment? I mean, I'm sure they're overwhelmed. Lord, you're sending us help, and they're trying to comprehend this. And they're thinking about the task before them, and I'm sure some of them are thinking, but Lord, this is an emergency. You need to send in the National Guard. Or you need to do something. Lord, are you sure? You're not making a mistake calling me, because see, I'm not Abraham or Moses or one of these great leaders in the Bible. I'm just a fisherman or a tax collector or maybe a farmer or something like that. I'm sure some thought, but Lord, surely there's somebody else that could do a better job. You know, you realize out of those 12 disciples, none of them were great Bible scholars with degrees and all that. They were just ordinary people. But I'm sure some of them thought, well, Lord, maybe there's somebody more equipped, better equipped to do this than me. This is an eye-opening experience for them. Sometimes we do that in church, don't we? Lord, you know, somebody, you know, the pastor. The pastor, I saw DOM put out a clip. Director of Missions put out a clip yesterday, a little cartoon. This Pastor Appreciation Month is in October. And it said, group came to the pastor. Yes, Pastor, we decided that God has sent you here to do all the work. That's not what Jesus is saying there. But anyhow. But Jesus tells them, folks, this is about you. At this moment in that upper room, Jesus is talking to them. He's telling them all the things that are about to happen, all the changes are about to take place. And he tells them, folks, this is about you now. It's about your responsibility to me. It's about your love for me and your love for everyone else. Because you're the ones I've chosen. So Jesus clarifies in verse 21. He says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him. And will manifest myself to him. Now Judas saith unto him, this is not Iscariot, and said, Lord, how is it that thou willest manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and will make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I said unto you. Now, can you imagine how the disciples must have felt at this point? Their mind wasn't in funeral mode. Here they realized that there were some things that they were going to have to do. First of all, they realized God was calling them. God was calling them. Jesus has chosen this group to carry on the work. Now, if we look in the scripture, we see what their work did. The church came from them. And God is still calling us as a church. We may have individual bodies here, there, and every other street corner, but as a church in whole, he's calling us to do his work. Secondly, they realized God had been teaching them. I just sort of think when they were sitting there and hearing all the things that Jesus was saying here, their mind was flashing back to, you know, I remember when Jesus said under the tree, and I didn't understand what he meant right then, but now all these puzzle pieces are coming together. Now I'm beginning to understand. Well, what has God been teaching you as a church over this last year? I mean, nobody's going to forget 2020, right? I've heard folks say they're going to stay up to midnight this year. They never stay up to midnight for New Year's Eve. because they want to make sure 2020 leaves. You know, I'm not sure what 2021 has in store, though. But the thing is, what has God been teaching you through your experiences, through the things that has things that have happened in your life and in the life of the church? And then the third thing they realized was God had been equipping them. He'd been equipping them to do what, training them to do what he wanted them to do. God had given them the ability to do what he had called them to do. He said, matter of fact, says, I'm leaving, you're going to be able to do greater things. Why? They were able to continue on and do things and share. And now God's sending the Holy Spirit to live inside them in order to guide them. Now, we can understand that if you've been saved, you can sort of understand when the Holy Spirit moves in, you know what that's like. But remember, the Holy Spirit's purpose is to guide them and lead them. And sometimes we go through life and think the Holy Spirit there is a backup prayer or something. But he's the one that's leading us and guiding us. So with all that's about to happen, Jesus reminds the disciples in verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So here they are, all this bad news. Yet Jesus encourages them, let not your heart be troubled. It's going to be different. Never going to be the same. There's going to be changes. And we all know Baptists don't like change, right? They didn't like change. The people don't like change. But there's going to be changes. There's a near error that they're facing. And they were about to embark on a journey that would become very difficult at times. I mean, they were going to be hated by some. They were going to be ridiculed by many. They would be mistreated, imprisoned, and every one of them, except for one, would die for their faith. For them, it was really a new adventure, just about like the adventure we're experiencing right now. Because let's face it, this year has been hard. This has been the hardest year to ever pastor any place. It really has. People talk about a new normal. At this point, I'm not sure what a new normal is. I know our world has turned upside down. Just to watch the news makes you sick. Yet God's still raising up a remnant of people. He's still raising up a remnant of people who are ordinary people. Farmers, factory workers, healthcare workers, school teachers, preachers, many more. And he's raising them up to do his work. And I think sometimes some of us are just now realizing what's at stake in the world in which we live today. I believe God is calling us to live for him. You know, some would say, well, we need Billy Graham or someone like Moses. Or at least God could send more TV evangelists or something, you know. But let me tell you something. If we were to take an inventory, I think we'd find that God's just still speaking to ordinary people. Now, can God still use somebody like Billy Graham? He used Billy Graham, no doubt. But can he still use you and me? Without a doubt. There are some who God called and, you know, they're still saying, no, not yet, Lord. I'm still just happy where I'm at, or I don't want to commit myself. And there's churches full of people like that. They come and they sit, and they sulk, some sour, and then they go home. But God's not called us to that. I hope that wouldn't be you this morning. But I believe God is calling a remnant, a group of people who must first deal with their own sin. To the Pharisees, they never wanted to deal with their sins. They just wanted to point out everybody else's. And he didn't use them, did he? He used a bunch of disciples, a bunch of fishermen and folks who were willing to put down everything they had and pick up their cross and follow him. Have we done that today? Have we committed ourselves? Is God calling us ordinary people to take a stand for him? I believe he is. Has God said to you, and from now on, meaning it's time to step up to the plate. Time to give extra. Time to go beyond what you've been doing. Are we really stepping up for Jesus? Are we really reaching out? You might say, well, you know, but we don't have a pastor right now to lead us. True. But I believe God can and will send you that leader you're looking for. But don't forget, Jesus was the leader of the disciples. And he left. And his last instructions were, you carry on the work. You keep doing it. I'll send you a helper. He sent you the same helper that he sent those disciples, the Holy Spirit. Even without a pastor, a church can still grow, can still work, can still serve the Lord. I've always said, if I leave a church and they stop growing and stop serving, then I didn't do a very good job. Because that's what the church should be doing anyhow. Step up. But remember this. When God sends you your next pastor, don't think it's just his job to do the work. No, he's to lead. He's to prepare you. He's to train you, teach you. He's to do his part of the work. But you're to do your part too. And you do it with the help of the Holy Spirit. Never forget that. We've never had a time when the church was needed more than right now. This community right now needs this church. And can this, and I'm sure it does already, this church make a difference in this community? I hope you do. I pray you do. I tell you, where we just came from Huntsville, I did one of the craziest things they thought ever when I joined. I joined the fire department. I enjoyed doing it. I've been doing it in the past. And it's a way to get into the community and to help. And I was told, you don't want to go down there. And they had just a whole bunch of old drunks and all this. And in a few years' time, God changed a bunch of stuff. Blessed. And put me right in the middle of a bunch of group guys. A few of them went to church. Most of them didn't. I want you to know, the last Sunday I was there, the whole department came to see it, hear my last message. They heard the gospel. And they still hear the gospel. And so God says, you know, some plants, some water. He gives the increase. We just have to do our part. But if you've been planting, if you've been watering, are you as a church stepping up and being who God wants you to be? Sometimes that means, you know, getting outside the box, but never abandoning his word. Sometimes it means extra effort. You might say, well, there's just a few of us. There's just 12 of them. There's more than 12 here. And then they turn the world upside down. there, God speaking to your heart this morning saying, okay, it's you I'm calling. Are you willing to respond this morning? If so, you have a chance. There's an altar right here that you can come and say, Lord, I want to be the best servant for you that I can be. I want to stop using the excuse, we don't have a pastor right now, so therefore, we all just wait. And Lord, I need to listen to the Holy Spirit every day. And it may just be to talk to your neighbor, talk to somebody at work, to share and invite. Maybe you never want anybody to Jesus Christ, and you need to just get in the Bible and say, I don't need to learn how to win somebody to Christ, and then start praying for a person that God puts on your heart, and then start sharing with them. And then share with them the gospel. But whatever it is God would have you to do this morning, maybe you're here and you're lost, you don't know Jesus, and this year scared you to death. And you thought, you know what? What if I were to catch coronavirus and die? I mean, it's a bad disease. It's especially for elderly. Are you ready? If you're not, you can make yourself ready this morning by calling upon Him. So let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you, Lord. Lord, for your word. And Father, I thank you for the message that you've laid on my heart. And I pray it has and will encourage this church to step up. Not that they haven't. I believe they have. But Lord, I think sometimes we need to be reminded of our calling to serve you, to love you. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. What's those commandments? Well, Lord, put you first, and then what? Love others. And you said to go out and compel them to come in. Lord, I'm not seeing much compelling in the world today. Not when it comes to Jesus. I pray this morning that you would compel us through the Holy Spirit, that we would do more for you. So we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. And Father, as we do, if it's something that needs to come to this altar and pray, this altar's open. Lord, I'll be glad to stand here and pray and talk with anybody that needs to come. But Lord, help us to do your will this morning. For we ask this in your holy name.